Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is on the road today. We welcome everyone to Madison, Wisconsin, where Penn State plays basketball in the Big Ten opener coming up tomorrow night. Patrick Chambers decided to bring the team out here early. Practice is set for tonight. By the way, Jermaine Marshall, DJ Newbill, and Nick Colella, captains for the Nittany Lions. Governor Tom Corbett stepped into the fray today in a big way. Penn State is not a part of this lawsuit, but the Commonwealth is suing the NCAA. A guy that has been sued many times by many people, Kevin Hur, joins us. Kevin, hi.
That's a nasty rumor.
Yes, but unfortunately it's not. And we also bring in a guy that actually knows what he's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, Buter is in the house.
Bob,
how are you?
Bob's actually been on the other side of one. Where have you ever had to worry about defending or be a plaintiff in a lawsuit?
I have been sued by a guy that I convicted for pedophilia, and he's still in prison, and he sued me because I happened to call him the most dangerous pedophile in Montour County. Apparently, he thinks he's only second or third.
There you go, Bob. And we sincerely hope he doesn't listen to the show. All right, so.
I doubt that he gets the show in where he's located.
You never know.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get to what the governor did today. Penn State has nothing to do with this lawsuit whatsoever. I think
right.
A lot of people thought that when the governor did sue, it was going to be in conjunction with the $60 million. He went far beyond that. He wants everything wiped out.
He does, Steve. And what he actually has done is file a challenge to the NCAA that they are an illegal monopoly. And as such, they violate the antitrust provisions of some very arcane old law known as the Sherman Antitrust Act, which really is an act designed to prevent monopolies from running the show and running roughshod over places like, just say, Penn State. So it's not a lawsuit in the traditional sense of somebody suing somebody else for money damages. What they're seeking in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is to prove that the NCAA is an illegal or unlawful trade association, violates the antitrust laws, and therefore their actions are, in essence, null and void.
When Oklahoma and Georgia sued the NCAA, I think it was in 1982, it took 2 years for that to eventually be settled. It was settled in favor of Oklahoma and Georgia. Also, charging the NCAA as a monopoly was holding them back television-wise.
Now, here
but
is... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The interesting thing about that lawsuit is that in one area of the lawsuit, the question came up, was the NCAA this unlawful trade association? The Supreme Court voted in, I believe, that case or a similar case by 5-4 that it was not. However, the principal dissenters in that case, Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, and a few others, are probably now the majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. Those people that said it was not, those justices, are, and I think it was Sandra Day O'Connor was the swing vote, they are all gone from the court. So that issue is a very close call and might lean in favor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania if the case makes it that far.
give me time here, because Penn State has already gone through 1 year of the sanctions. Now, I want to point out to everybody so that they understand what we're dealing with here time-wise. Okay, time-wise, this is actually year one of a six-year sanction against Penn State. You're saying, oh, no, it's four. You're wrong. Okay? This was year one, no bowl, no Big Ten. Next year's no bowl, no Big Ten. But then the 65 kicks in year three with no bowl. 65 is in year four with no bowl. But then in year five, there's 65 scholarships with a bowl. And year six is 65 scholarships with a bowl. So this is actually a six-year sanction. So now that I've outlined the 6 years, Bob, what's the typical timetable on something like this when a lawsuit is filed by a state?
Well, a couple things are going to happen in the near term. First, maybe not in this order, but there will be a motion filed by the NCAA in federal court to dismiss the lawsuit, saying essentially that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania does not have the legal standing or legal authority to sue the NCAA. They are not the aggrieved party. If anyone is the aggrieved party, it is Penn State, who has chosen not to, to take any legal action. So that'll go, and there'll be briefs, et cetera, and probably what we call oral arguments in front of the court. A lot of this stuff is done with pieces of paper filed, legal briefs, et cetera. The other thing that's going to go on will be what is known as discovery. And discovery would involve such things as taking the videotape deposition of NCAA President Mark Ermert, the man, I forget the president, maybe it's Oregon State, who's in charge. He was at the one press conference. Taking his deposition.
Right.
Yeah, taking his deposition. I am certain that the president of Penn State will be also deposed on the key issue of, did they coerce you by threatening the death penalty for you to sign this agreement? Those depositions will be part of the process. The other thing that will go on is massive amounts of what we call discovery. In other words, the Commonwealth will send a notice to the NCAA. We want every email that you have, that you participated in, that you sent or received regarding Penn State. And they'll give it, you know, a time frame from A to Z. And so they've got to retrieve all of those things. And then there will be questions sent to parties to produce other documents, other types of communication, letters, et cetera. So it is a lengthy process, Steve.
What happens, for example, when Ed Ray and Mark Emmert are asked, in the course of your investigation, what led you to give these sanctions, and then they tell them that there was no investigation? What does that mean?
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of red faces, first of all. Second of all, we will get a glimpse under the hood of the NCAA motor vehicle. We're going to be able to know what went on behind the scenes. We're going to know if there are any dissents that by members of the executive committee, the NCAA. We're probably going to get a lot of emails that went back and forth, Steve, between Penn State and the NCAA. For example, I was stunned when I found out that Penn State had signed a consent decree, and I read the whole thing from stem to stern, and it wasn't something that you just send one time and say, read it and sign it and get it back. There had to be lots of negotiations or fine-tuning the language. All of those emails from Penn State to the NCAA and back will come out. And I have a feeling that every newspaper in Pennsylvania will be filing right-to-know requests for copies of the videotape depositions, copies of email, et cetera, et cetera.
Can anyone file something that ask for a stay of the sanctions until the lawsuit is settled, or is that out of the realm of possibility?
Well, in this kind of a lawsuit, which is really very unique, you know, again, you know, the typical lawsuit in federal court is a truck driver from New Jersey is going driving through Pennsylvania and gets hit by another truck driver from the state of Maine, and there's $1 million worth of damages. You know, those kinds of civil lawsuits, and there's a process for this. These antitrust litigations just can the rules are very nebulous, if you will, in the sense that you can file any type of motion at any time. So, yeah, it's a different kettle of fish.
Right. Could the state file that kind of motion, or have we just seen everything that Governor Corbett's put out there? Could Penn State file a motion like that?
Penn State would have to somehow intervene to say, hey, we want to be a party of this. And, yes, the answer is the Commonwealth could seek a return to the status quo, meaning pre-sanctions, to the then status quo, pre-sanctions, until the whole matter is sorted out. And, again, arguments, briefs will all have to go to a judge who will be from the Middle District of Pennsylvania, which means it's the 33 counties outside of suburban Philadelphia and outside of probably Clearfield, from Erie to Pittsburgh, the western area. We're in the middle, obviously, York, Harrisburg, Williamsport, mm-hmm. State College, Danville, et cetera. That's the Middle District. One of those judges will make those decisions.
What did you think about how comprehensive the governor's lawsuit was today? Because I think many people thought that in listening to politicians that they were talking almost exclusively about the $60 million. He didn't talk. He talked about that, but he took everything into account. What did you think of what he did today?
Well, you know, if you're going to take a shot, you have to put everything in the lawsuit you can conceivably think of. Nothing should be left out of the paperwork when you file it. That's the first thing. The second thing was that they really did go through an A through Z list of things. Obviously, there was a lot of work put into this, a lot of legal research. One of the interesting points about all of this, Steve, is, and I'm not a fan of Governor Corbett's, even though we were both prosecutors and I know the man fairly well, but he made the decision to file now because in a few short days there will be a new attorney general in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Kathleen Kane.
And Kathleen from Scranton, an assistant district attorney, worked up there with my friend Andy Girbola for quite a few years. She's going to be sworn in. Now, the attorney general does the litigation on behalf of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Only the attorney general does the litigation. That's why we have one. Not, you know, we think of attorney generals as kind of criminal prosecutors, but there's a huge side of their office that does civil matters on behalf of the Commonwealth. What happened here is that the current attorney general who brought the Sandusky indictments will be leaving office, but she granted a waiver to the Corbett administration for them to file the lawsuit and bypassing the need to have the attorney general do it. So
okay.
That gets kind of like a real sticky wicket in the middle of all of this.
Does the fact that, does the fact that Jordan Hill, Matt McGloin, Malcolm Willis, Allen Robinson, Bill O'Brien, Ted Roof, that they literally had nothing to do with anything, and yet they're the ones paying the penalties of the sanctions. Does that enter into the thought process of this?
I think the answer to that is yes, it really does, because one of the things that the Governor Corbett is alleging in this lawsuit is that there are so many numerous innocent victims that the penalties that the NCAA imposed really went after innocent parties who had nothing to do with anything. And if someone would, if there's anybody in Pennsylvania who knows who the responsible parties are, It will be the governor in his capacity as the previous attorney general who conducted the grand jury investigation. So he is alleging that this illegal monopoly called the NCAA failed to follow their own procedures and legal processes and came up with this disproportionate penalty, which, interestingly, and let me juxtapose that with the press conference, the typical governor in front of the podium, but behind him was a backdrop of local officials and business people who are alleging as part of this that they have been harmed because of decreased attendance and has had an economic impact on certainly Center County. So people like that were in the mix of the press conference backdrop today. So, yeah, there are a vast amount of innocent victims, and that is part of that is an essential part of what a judge must decide. And who could not, if you're any kind of human being, thinking about this, trying to make a decision, weigh all the innocent parties that have been harmed as a result of the NCAA sanctions?
Now, here's the statement from the NCAA. This is by Donald Remy, the NCAA Executive Vice President and General Counsel. "We are disappointed by the governor's action today. Not only does this forthcoming lawsuit appear to be without merit, it is an affront to all the victims in the tragedy." So they play that card. "Lives that were destroyed by the criminal actions of Jerry Sandusky. While the innocence that was stolen can never be restored, Penn State has accepted the consequences for its role and the role of its employees and is moving forward. Today's announcement by the governor is a setback to the university's efforts." What is your reaction to that statement?
That's a lot of nonsense. It's totally, to use their phrase, without merit. Trying to tie the victims of Jerry Sandusky to this lawsuit is absurd, frankly. It's apples and oranges, to use an old analogy. One has nothing to do with it. If anyone knows who the victims of this case of Sandusky are in this matter, it's Tom Corbett as Attorney General, and his office did the prosecuting. His office met with the victims. They are the ones who, successfully convicted the wrongdoer and have, you know, made allegations against the three top officials at the at Penn State. So to say they're not sensitive and it's a setback for victims, boy, you got to be grabbing at straws if you're the NCAA. It's just simply a bid for, like, trying to win the PR battle on this lawsuit. It's trying to shift focus away. It's what I would call in a criminal case I was prosecuting, the defense wants me to chase foul balls and wants the jury to see misdirection here. You know, let's keep our focus on the main part, which is the unfairness of the NCAA sanctions. And now they're just trying to throw the victims in. I think it's pretty desperate.
Right, especially that right now the victims are all in negotiations with Penn State over settlements.
Yeah,
particular time.
Yeah, and this lawsuit has nothing to do with that. But, you know, I think when you're – and every defense lawyer, and the general counsel for the NCAA is, you know, a defense lawyer in a sense in this case, they all say all these things are without merit until a judge rules otherwise.
You know, one quick question, Steve and Bob. When you look at the time period of this, first off, is this a case that's going to have to be heard, or is this an option? And number two, when would it likely be heard? What's the timetable on something like this?
The answer to your last question first, the timetable is absolutely unknown at this point. It will be heard in one sense or another. As I said, the first challenge, I think, will be the motion to dismiss filed by the NCAA. Governor Corbett, you and the Commonwealth have no standing to bring this lawsuit. If anybody does, it's Penn State, and we don't see their name on the paper. So that will have to be heard in some manner or fashion. But a lot of this is done through paper. You won't see it's in an antitrust case. I'm not certain of this. But generally speaking, they are not cases that are heard by a jury. This is purely a judge ruling on the merits.
In this, because Penn State is not involved in the case, and Penn State did sign off, does that take away any of the power of the Commonwealth in this lawsuit, or because the fact it is the Commonwealth on behalf of the people, it has all the power it needs?
It is really in a weaker position not having Penn State as part of the being part of the plaintiff. Plaintiffs in this case, there's only one, the Commonwealth. So it does weaken it. There's no question about it. Penn State, while I'm sure the administration and the Board of Trustees know the stinging effect and the incredible harshness, you know, there's been plenty of criticism there. I think they're afraid of joining this lawsuit because who knows what could happen even worse if they did. They're trying to move on, as they say, using that old phrase. They're trying to really move on. They've done an excellent job of implementing a lot of the recommendations that the NCAA said they had to do. You know, they've got a great coach in O'Brien who is just doing all the right things on and off the field, coping with those sanctions. So Penn State, at least in the football program, and the response at the athletic department area has been outstanding. You know, it's tough to move a big ship the way they have, but Penn State's managed to do it, and that's at the athletic area.
Yeah, no question about it. They have, and of the 119 recommendations Director Free has put forward, many of them have already started to be implemented. One final question for you, Bob. And for Penn State in this, you know, you say they're on the sidelines initially in this. What about, you know, the Commonwealth and you mentioned what they have to do next, the next step. So what's the plan of attack? The NCAA is going to respond, then they have to respond, correct?
Right. One of the things, let me just tell you, one of the arguments that the Commonwealth has put forward is basically this. The Commonwealth spends hundreds of millions of dollars in direct subsidies or payments to Penn State University. And right. All of this $60 million, $15 million, is it $12 million for 5 years or $15
million
for
5 years? And already, yeah.
And
already
got the first check.
$12 million is already in escrow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the point,
in escrow.
The point is money is what we call fungible. You know, it all goes into one big pot, and then it gets paid out of one big pot. So the Commonwealth has an interest in this lawsuit because of the hundreds of millions of dollars they put in every year that may either directly or indirectly end up going to the NCAA. So in one sense or fashion, the Commonwealth is helping to subsidize or pay the penalty imposed on Penn State.
Right. Actually, so, I lied to you. I do have one more question.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, the last question I have for you is this. Does the fact that the NCAA put forward sanctions on Penn State before Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, and now Graham Spanier have had their days in court, and the fact that not one of the three was actually Spanier, two of the three were not interviewed by Judge Free, or by Director Free, the fact that he didn't interview them at all, or Joe, or Mike McQuarrie, does that enter into what this lawsuit here, the judgment was rendered before there was actually judgment in the case?
I think that's a strong argument that the Commonwealth is going to make. The typical phrase, you know, rush to judgment, the need to do something so that the ESPN sound trucks would leave the area and stop bugging the NCAA and Penn State to get it done, that rush to judgment, I think, will weigh heavily, at least from the Commonwealth's perspective on this lawsuit, that it just reinforces the position of the allegations in the lawsuit that this was a rush to judgment.
Bob, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You will enjoy Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, there's brats all over the place. Everywhere you look.
You can't walk 10 feet in any direction out there without running into a brat stand. So enjoy
that.
Well,
you know what a difference it is.
Go ahead.
But you know what? What a difference a year makes. Because 1 year ago, when we came in here, that was the weekend of the protests against Governor Scott Walker.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
We're at the hotel that is just down the hill from the Capitol. Literally, I can walk 200 yards and I'm at the Capitol. The streets here were completely filled with people and protesters. 1 year ago, the lobby was completely filled with protesters. A year ago, I remember one of them looking up with a sign and looking at it says, you don't look like protesters. You look like basketball players. And I looked over and said, yes, life goes on.
Yes, it does. And how much for tomorrow night's game and playing the Badgers, the carryover from the football victory by Penn State, do you think there's going to be a carryover and motivate Wisconsin to really go after Penn State tomorrow, sort of make up for that loss in football?
I think when you have when you've lost only 9 times at home under your head coach since he's been here.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really think you worry about such things.
Okay.
I think you just worry about the fact that, you know, you don't have your point guard and Penn State doesn't have its point guard. I mean, they're only actually 174-16 in 190 games under Bo Ryan in this building. So I don't think they're really worried about that, Bob.
Okay. I think the message for Penn State then tomorrow night is, look, we beat them in football, and they were heavily favored. Let's do the same in basketball.
Well, we'll find out. We'll see how they can get it done. They've won 4 straight games, Penn State has.
And if
Bob,
thanks. Steve, take care.
Yep, appreciate it very much. Buhner in the house. I know we're late on the news, Kevin.
That's all right. I've got it all squared away. As a matter of fact, the music is going to start now.
Well, I think if anybody could get you up to date on what the meaning of that lawsuit is, it's Bob Buhner, and he did it. We appreciate it very much. News is next, bottom of the hour. By the way, if Sarah Bartlett sounds depressed, because Ray Lewis is retiring.
Woohoo!
As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's been an interesting day without question. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's the Hilsa's General Store hotline. Brought to you by our good friends at Hilsa's General Store. Good time to go in there now. Boots, outerwear, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And the Sunbury Motors Studio is on the road today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Woods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I bet you could use some gloves right about now.
Yeah, no, we have a fire here in the room. It's no big deal.
You
put it out when the show's over.
This is a controlled burn, right? This isn't.
Yeah, we think so.
Okay,
we're just
good.
We're using furniture at the moment. It's all good. Let's see. The NCAA is going to attack the lawsuit without a doubt on several grounds. Number one, the fact that Tom Corbett does not work for Penn State. Okay, but Penn State's not a part of this either. Now, Pennsylvania is going to assert that they fund at $214 million, which is what Bob Buhner said. Theoretically, that pays part of the $60 million fine, theoretically. The NCAA is going to argue that it's contractually authorized to sanction Penn State, which is a member of the NCAA by voluntary choice, not a requirement. And then they can cite at least 2 contracts, the membership agreement, and also the NCAA could argue that explaining the grounds of the sanctions that Penn State had relinquished the right. Pennsylvania is going to respond by asserting the NCAA provided Penn State with a contract of false choice. That's going to be what they're going to argue. Lastly, the NCAA is going to go after Governor Corbett's action or inaction in prosecuting Sandusky as the Attorney General from 2005 to 11. And, of course, he has all the answers to that because he was the one directly involved in it. And to be honest with you, the NCAA has a big problem in this area. The NCAA hasn't investigated anything. Okay, there is no NCAA investigation. That's going to be a problem for the NCAA, the fact that they never investigated it. Right? Okay? They handed down sanctions on something they personally didn't look into. So when they say they may go after the governor as to his action or inaction on it, I don't see how they possibly can go after him on his action or inaction because they haven't done a single thing to look into it themselves. That's a problem. So now we'll see as to how it plays out.
You know, but the one thing I was reading, Steve, in the governor's information that was released is the NCAA, he and this is a quote in the release, the NCAA leadership can't make up its own rules. A handful of top NCAA officials simply inserted themselves into an issue they had no authority to police and one that was clearly being handled by the justice system. You know, that's not exactly, but that's something that you've said and a lot of people have said for a while now is that the NCAA, you know, didn't really give it due process.
Well, they haven't given it due process. That's why I asked the last question I did to Bob about the Tim Curley and Gary Schultz trials, which have now been delayed. They were scheduled to start on January 7th. And, of course, Graham Spanier eventually is going to have a trial out of this based on the indictment and the charges against him. The fact that you hand down judgment before you've even talked to the individuals involved, that's the part that is, for the NCAA, is going to be the single weakest part of their case. When somebody said, well, okay, when Tim Curley, Gary Schultz explained it to you, what did they tell? Oh, you didn't talk to them. Oh, you never spoke a word? You didn't, really? So you've done this all from one side. And again, Director Free elected not to talk to them on the advice, of course, from the Commonwealth, which, of course, you know, let's face it, the Commonwealth doesn't really want Director Free talking to them because they're trying to build a case. Tim Curley and Gary Schultz don't want to talk to Director Free because at the same time they don't want to do anything that would damage their case of defense. And Joe Paterno couldn't. So that's going to be the part of this that is not going to help the NCAA at all, that they rendered judgment before there was judgment and before they had a chance to talk to anybody. Nobody from the NCAA called Tim Curley and said, all right, you know, we'd like to hear from you exactly what happened and why. They called Gary Schultz, what happened and why. They called Joe Paterno, they didn't. But they rendered sanctions based on a third-party report. That's going to be a big problem for them. Now, for the governor and the state of Pennsylvania lawsuit, what their problem is Penn State accepted the sanctions, and they're not a part of the lawsuit. So both sides have some tough water to navigate in this. And I'm wondering in all of this if there isn't some sort of – I'm wondering if it's possible, only possible, that there's some sort of, hey, look, let's throw the lawsuit out in exchange for –
You're thinking they're going to cut a deal somewhere along the line.
Well, no, I'm speculating here. You know, I'm not good at speculating, but I'll speculate on this. I mean, is it possible for them to, hey, look, throw the lawsuit out. Why bother? Why should the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have to spend all this money on the lawsuit? Why should the NCAA have to spend all this money defending it? We'll cut the sanctions down and blah, 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 in exchange for.
But
I mean,
see, there's
not a possibility.
Well, there's one thing though that nobody really discusses a whole lot, and maybe it's been because it's been misreported. But it's been widely reported that Penn State was, and I'm going to use words. These are my words. Blackmailed into signing that piece of that agreement, knowing that the alternative was the death penalty for the program. And this is the first time in this particular statement from the governor. This is the first time I've heard that discussed. In a legal sense.
Well, the only ones that can really answer that would be Ed Ray from Oregon State, Mark Emmert, President Erickson and Acting Athletic Director Dave Joyner. They're the only ones that really can answer those questions. For the rest of us on the outside looking in, we can't answer those questions. We don't know what was said, how it was said, what was implied, how was it implied. And that's something where that's when the depositions come out. And we'll find out.
And I think it's important to remember that I use the term blackmail. This is not a term that the governor used or anybody else's. That's my personal opinion on it.
Right, and that's exactly right. So my problem with all of this has always been, why not wait until the trials are over, then render judgment? That way you get all the perspective, because you may sit down and go through the trial and go, well, they certainly fouled that up. That's awful, blah, 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 and you render a judgment. Or you may sit back and you listen to all the evidence in the case and say they're found not guilty, and you sit there and go, huh. That puts a different light on it, doesn't it? See, that's what happens when you finally get all sides to a story. The NCAA didn't wait till for all sides of the story. And again, I go back to Director Free, and I've talked about this many, many times. I'm going to say it again. I know a lot of people have been critical of Director Free. But Director Free was also operating under a set of circumstances. And in his press conference, he prefaced his press conference, his words now, I'm paraphrasing, but it's his words. We could not talk to Tim Curley because of the upcoming trial. We could not talk to Gary Schultz because of the upcoming trial. We wanted to talk to Joe Paterno, and we were told he was going to fully cooperate because of his subsequent illness and then subsequent death. We could not talk with him. So he admits, right, and they did talk to Graham Spanier. They did talk to him, and it's in the report. And they did not talk to Mike McQuarrie either. Again, same story because of his involvement as a witness in the Tim Curley, Gary Schultz trials. Okay? So he prefaced his press conference with that. It may have been a quick preface that took, I took longer to preface it than he did, but he still prefaced it that way. That's his way of saying, hey, look, I did the best I could with what I had here, but it's not complete. I mean, he tells you right away it's not complete. It can't be complete because you don't have the primary individuals who are cited in the report at least stating what and why and how this came about. I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, we know that there are emails in that report that deal with Jerry that actually are about Jerry Dunn. Need to discuss Jerry's situation once we get back from Chicago. Oh, it's in the report. They're talking about Jerry Dunn in the NCAA basketball tournament in 2001, the Big Ten basketball tournament. Penn State had lost by 20, had a 20-point lead at halftime against Ohio State. If they'd won the game, they would have been into the NCAAs. They lost the game. They blew the 20-point lead at halftime. They then went to the United Center in Chicago. Jozy Klein-Hurd hit a layup with .1 to go. Penn State won it. That got them into the tournament. Then they beat Michigan State, the number two seed, by 2 points, 65-63. And guess what? Penn State went from probably a 10 seed to a 7 seed. And then they eventually lost in the semifinal of the tournament to Iowa, which eventually won it. Well, that's what that email with Jerry dealt about. So even though, you know, so there are mistakes within the report, such as that one, that have nothing to do with the case. Well, see, they're talking about it in March 2001. It's the wrong Jerry. Okay? So when you don't have perspective, and my point about that, about the email, is not to put down the report. It's that when you talk to the individuals involved and you hand them an email, this email, March 2001, about Jerry. Well, it's about Jerry Dunn, the basketball. Oh, okay. Perspective. Now you know what it means, where it's coming from. And that's why I brought up that point. It's a perspective thing. That's why you have to talk to the individuals involved. Now, and then you have to determine whether they're telling the truth or not. But at least you hear them out. And that's going to be a big problem for the NCAA in this, the fact that they rendered judgment not based on their own investigation and also before judgment was reached in trial.
Well, they rendered judgment just to make ESPN and everybody happy. They kept asking them question after question, oh, what are you going to do about it? That's why judgment was rendered.
Well, we'll find out.
Again, my opinion.
We'll find out. Right. We'll find out. I mean, you might be right. I don't know. But we'll have to find out from them as to whether that played a role in it or not. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Kevin using nasty and big words today.
It was my turn to look them up in the dictionary.
Wow. I mean, you've used some heavy hitting words today.
Well, it's just, you know, I have the opportunity to say exactly what I feel, and it's my opinion.
I understand.
I could be wrong.
I understand.
I have been wrong in the past. I don't feel that way right now, but, you know.
But you did say something interesting. As time goes, we learn a little bit more.
Sure. I mean, my feeling was, how in the world could something like this have happened? And then the more I look into it, the more I realize it may not be as cut and dry as I first thought or first felt.
Well, you got to remember, everything's put together in such a way. What Director Free did was basically a prosecutor's style of document, okay? Like, it's a grand jury style of document. Well, you're supposed to come out of a grand jury style of document and go, yeah, they got him. But that's not, you know, this is like buying a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and so far they only have 450 of the pieces. Okay? I mean, that's how far away they are from all the answers in this.